The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. We don't have we're not our usual group here today. We've got a little bit of fill-ins, including myself. So I'm Josh Lee, the Extension Cotton Specialist, and I got a good group of us today. We've got Dr. Chandler Gruner.
So, yeah, I'm Chandler Gruner. I'm the Extension Soil Health Specialist, and then we have our guest today.
Kaylee Gilbert, I am an extension agent, and I cover the area of health and wellness.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kaylee, for being here. We do appreciate it. We're kind of going to switch gears a little bit from our normal podcasting topics. I know here we're talking about, seed, fertilizer, and yields are usually the name of the game, and I'm going to refrain from talking a lot about cotton today. This isn't the highlight of it, but I think I'm going to sneak it in somehow, in this podcast here. But I think one of the biggest things that I've seen, and I deal with it myself, is how do we deal with stress and how do we effectively manage our stress? As a grower and even as your extension specialist, times can be really hard. And it's really good to know, what resources are there, how can I manage stress myself, and, what are the best ways that I can mitigate, something from happening. So I think it's a really good idea. It ain't just a good idea. It's something that we need to do. So we're going to take a few, take some time and talk about some topics, some resources and all that are available to you, myself, and the growers here in the state of Alabama. So just to kick it off, one of my things was like relaxation. And, a lot of times, myself included, I'm like, I don't really relax. That's not my, that's not my thing or whatever. But, Chandler, I'm going to start with you and then we're going to circle back and I'll answer this question myself. How do you relax and take a break from daily stressors? Like, what's something that you're going to go to?
So, like, relaxing and stress is, like, that's kind of changed over time. So, I think with many of us, that has changed. So, maybe when we were younger, it was kind of one thing. And then as you kind of progress, as you get older, you kind of find different things, especially if you have a family and you start to have kids and a wife and all that stuff starts happening, like myself. It's like it changes kind of how you relax and where you kind of go and what you kind of do. And so maybe at one point in time, it would have been going for a run, spending some time motorcycle riding or whatever, but that's not always going to work nowadays with, the family dynamic going on. I don't have the ability to just step away fully. And so I have to find different ways and unique ways. Maybe it's listening to a podcast. Maybe it's sitting there watching like a 20-minute episode of a TV, just quietly relaxing. Maybe it's reading a book or something for 20, 30 minutes. And so there's kind of some of that different things like that. So it's kind of altered over time with me. And so I can't really say there's been one item that has worked. And so some of the things I've used in the past, they still work, fishing or whatever could work. But, that isn't always practical, like I said, with the situation.
Sure. Thank you, Chandler. Yep. Kaylee, what's your go-to methods?
Well, I think some of the biggest issues that I see with, people finding that thing to help them relax is allowing themselves to have that relaxation. Sometimes people call it hobbies. Sometimes people call it, just something fun that they enjoy doing. And sometimes being able to take that step back and realize that we can still have those hobbies and those things that we enjoy is incredibly difficult for some people. I know, like, my spouse really struggles with that a lot. He's always like, I've got to go work. I've got to go do this. So I think really sitting down and honing into something that you enjoy doing, whether that be, like, for me, it's reading. For my husband, it's hunting. Those types of things, being able to identify something you love to do.
Sure. No, thank you, Kaylee. I'm gonna piggyback off of that with your husband dealing with daily stress going out to the woods. I'm a hunter myself. I'm not the biggest hunter, and there's a bunch of people much, much, much better than me, but I do enjoy getting out in the woods. So a very, very nice break, even dealing with daily stress, especially when I was finishing up school, there were times where I didn't want to work. I didn't want to do it. I was like, man, but I've got to get this done. And one of the biggest things I did was just sort of walk away from it from a good, like, hour even. Mm-hmm. Taking a walk, thinking about something else. I usually have a handful of podcasts I'll listen to as well, along with some music or whatever. And I just put that on and go for a little walk. And it really comes back. When I come back, I'm refreshed and I'm pretty sharp. And that problem I've been fighting on for an hour, I can now solve in, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, and I don't want to believe it because I'm stubborn and I want it to work immediately. But no, it's a very, very helpful tool.
Yeah. Just removing yourself and stepping away for that deep breath, or maybe go have a cup of coffee if it's early enough in the morning for you to still enjoy a cup of coffee. I think taking a break is incredibly beneficial, even if it is just for an hour or so.
Sure. And, you know, when we go into that, you know, we talk about, you know, relaxing and, you know, where do we go to socialize? And I think socialize, and, you know, Chandler, you made a great point, you know, that changes with time. Mine's going to be a little different than yours because, you know, you're a family man. You've got everything going. How is I? You know, I'm a little different. But I think for a good, you know, socializing part, that's a really good part of stress management is talking to people. You know, you don't want to isolate yourself. And I know I've done that too with a bunch of work that comes in. I'm like, all right, I can't talk to anybody. I get bad and I'll put my phone completely away from me when I've got a lot of stuff to do. And I know that's not the most ideal thing, but man, I get major productive. But overall, you know, when we're trying to, you know, relax and socialize, you've got to get in, you know, with your family, your friends, and, you know, different places. A favorite restaurant is somewhere that's definitely a comforting place, you know, especially if you, you know, it's almost like the reward at the end. And, you know, you really look forward to it with your friends, family, whoever you're getting with. So I definitely think that is a good thing. Chandler, how about yourself, man?
Yeah, like a place to like socialize, like favorite restaurant, that's kind of a good one, you know, especially people that work in the ag community. Maybe it's like a local coffee shop or breakfast joint that's like open for breakfast and lunch. That's like a good place to hang out and have good conversations. I've always enjoyed stopping by them places when I'm out traveling about the state and talking with people. Kind of gets me refocused, and I can see that they can refocus a little bit and they can hear kind of some different things that are going on. And you know, when you start realizing that everyone's kind of talking about the same things or feeling the same pressures or stresses and stuff, you're just kind of like, you know, that you feel a little bit of relief knowing that there's others kind of going through the same thing or similar things to you or having some situation that's kind of similar. It kind of helps you relax because you're like, oh, I'm not alone in this. There's other people that are dealing with it too.
Yeah, humans are, you know, inherently social beings, whether we want to admit that or not. You know, you may be as introverted as they come, but you still got to talk to somebody somewhere. You know, like you mentioned, you know, breakfast joints, coffee shops, you know, religious organizations or, you know, different types of, you know, groups like, you know, farmers federations, those types of, you know, things you gather together and, you know, socialize with people that are like-minded. Even if you're just talking about, you know, the weather that day, it's, you're talking, you're getting out there, you're seeing people, and it really stimulates our mind and gives us that really good, you know, community feeling that we so long for, even though, again, sometimes we don't want to admit to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the extension events that we've been having, it's like a lot of times before and after them, we always see the producers, they kind of hang around, start talking. So a lot of farmers and stuff are talking, and they kind of get that conversation. You know, you see that kind of building up and, you know, some of that connection building. So maybe they haven't seen each other for a little while because harvest season or it's planting season. So they're having a little bit of tough time to having that conversation, but they sit down because there's like, oh, there's this extension event going on in that county. So they sign up together because like, oh, I know you're going and I'll go too. And so we'll all get there together. And so they'll kind of socialize a little bit and learn something. So that's kind of another cool place we've seen people get together.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that, Chandler. I always enjoy the interactions before and after, you know, our extension meetings and stuff. It's a really good time to, you know, obviously we're going to talk, you know, cotton with me. We're going to talk cotton, we're going to talk that, but we talk about a lot of other things too. A lot of these folks I haven't seen in months. I know some, you know, and a lot of them I went to graduate school with. So it's good just to catch up, see what's happening, you know, see what's around the place. So I do think it's a very good opportunity. I think it's one of the more vital pieces of an extension meeting that we have. And it's not on the agenda, but it's kind of an understood thing that you're going to be there and talk.
Yeah.
So for sure. And, you know, we already, Kaylee, you kind of alluded to this as well. And this is a really good point. You know, we talk about, you know, turning to somebody or, you know, something for advice.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned, you know, you get together with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a really, really good statement because, you know, when I'm trying to figure something out that, you know, is stressing me out or I just can't figure it out. It's something new.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time I can't talk to my folks about this. They're like, Josh, we don't know. We know what you do, but we're not in your same realm. And I've got some really good buddies from grad school and stuff, and they're always there and I always give them a call. And that's who I really turn to for advice.
Yeah, we, you know, typically gravitate towards like-minded individuals anyways. So having someone that understands the things that you're going through and may have even been through that situation themselves could be a really good like mentor or guide or just that shoulder to kind of, you know, or that ear to listen, the shoulder to lean on, the ear to listen. So, yeah.
Awesome. So when we get to thinking about, you know, as Chandler and I have traveled around the state as specialists, we've been able to meet a bunch of different folks. And it's always, that's part of the job. It is part of the job, but it's a fun part of the job to me. I enjoy it. But one of the things we, you know, have sort of picked up on is, you know, figuring out the stress management of our growers, you know, and we're there to support our growers, and I want to make sure that they have all the resources and all the capabilities, you know, to be 100% successful on their farm. You know, just thinking about, you know, looking at some signs and stuff, stressors and stuff that are, you know, weighing on the growers' minds. I'd just like to go around and just mention, you know, some signs that you may or may not have picked up on. Probably myself, I may have not picked up on. Probably need to. That's why we've got you here, just to learn this stuff. But I'll start this conversation off. So I'm going to speak on my behalf and just from how I've been raised. Guys usually don't want to talk about their issues. They're not going to carry their burden, and they're going to say, "I got this." And I say that too. I say, "I've got this," and I'm hard-headed, and I'll go and move on. But it gets to a point sometimes, especially, you know, farming is hard, and farming is a gamble. I know we have all this technology, and we have everything, but, you know, some catastrophic event like a hurricane or just some simple mishap can take that crop you've worked on away. And it amazes me. That's just one of the things that farming amazes me at, and that's why I enjoy so much researching it and just learning about it. But definitely something that weighs on your mind. It weighs on your mind at night. It weighs on your mind if you're on vacation, that kind of stuff. So, you know, some of the things that I see, you know, as a specialist, and again, I'm an outside specialist looking in, you know, growers ask, and they do, they ask a bunch of questions, which I want them to ask a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
But I think they're asking production style questions and not more of like, you know, are there resources that I can help me, or what, you know, what do you think? And I'm there to provide my, you know, expertise the best way I can.
Yeah.
So yeah, when you're talking about like the resources and stuff, so like, Callie, do you know of like certain resources that maybe growers could reach out to, like maybe at a, let's say like at a national level, like is there, what is the best way? And then we'll kind of start a national, and we'll kind of focus in maybe more of a state, and then kind of local resources is kind of the way we think about going through this here.
Yeah. So, I will say that there is the 988 crisis line, and a lot of people look at that crisis line as that is, you know, kind of end all be all, this is the end of the road kind of thing, and I've got to call this number. But it's actually confidential, and you can call and talk to them even if you're not to that point. So like, say you've just had a really bad couple of weeks and you just want someone to listen to you, and you just kind of vent. You don't want to put it on anyone else, in your family, in your household. The 988 crisis line is a really great resource. They recently shortened the number. It used to be a 1-800 number and you had to remember that. But they shortened it to 988 so that we can all remember that. So it's very simple. It's similar to 911, but it's 988. So that's one of them. One of the other ones is the Farm Aid Hotline. So that's 1-800-FARM-AID. So 1-800-327-6243. And that is kind of more geared towards farming and production individuals. So they're very knowledgeable in what may be going on, and particularly if there is like a hurricane or something that does come through and really impacts your crops or any of the other things that you may have going on your operation. So that is another good resource for you to reach out to. Locally, the Alabama Department of Public Health does have a mental health unit. So that mental health, those mental health workers are available statewide, as well as we have, obviously, Extension. We can help direct you to those resources. Are we counselors? No, but, you know, a lot of times Extension agents are some of the only people these farmers really see, especially if they are very reclusive individuals. So being able to have that knowledge and direct them and notice those signs and symptoms is a really great first step to take as, you know, that really local level.
So yeah, those sounds like great resources. And I've heard about the 988. I hadn't actually heard about some of the other ones. So that's kind of good to know that there's some other ones out there. I figured there was, but I wasn't really sure in the space where it is. But you keep mentioning these signs and symptoms. So like, maybe I'm a producer and I'm like, you know, facing something like we're talking about, like hurricanes come in or something.
New pests,
you know,
a lot, market uncertainty. There's a list.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun things that always come in throughout the year. And so what are something like, maybe, you know, I'm kind of like, I've been fine, but am I really fine? Like, what are some of them signs that maybe we don't think about as a sign, but like is creeping in on us, like we don't realize it?
Yeah, and that's really hard with farming, because a lot of the signs and symptoms that come along with that are some that we associate with, oh, it's been a late night and I've been working really late, or I'm just not hungry, I'm just too hot. You know, some of the symptoms include, you know, not sleeping, withdrawing from your community, being quick to anger with your family, lack of sleep are some as well. So those are some of those early symptoms, especially if it's persistent and it doesn't go away. If it's something like, I had a late night, I'm going to be tired for a few days, that'll eventually go away. But if it's to the point that you're losing sleep consistently over time, or you're missing meals, losing weight, you know, your body's missing out on that vital nutrition that it needs, that can really have that snowball effect on your health as well as your mental health.
So yeah, it sounds like your body kind of tells you a lot of things that maybe we don't always listen to or answer to, kind of in a way.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times people go to the, you got to pick yourself up by the bootstraps and get over it kind of thing. But I always tell my husband this, is that it's just trying to relate it to a farming thing, is if the tractor has a weird clunk on it, you're not going to ignore it, because eventually if you ignore that clunk, then maybe the tractor's going to break down and you're not going to be able to make harvest. And it's going to be a big snowball effect of things that, you know, is not necessarily what you're wanting. Your body's the same way. If you're getting those symptoms and you're getting those indications that something is wrong, don't ignore it, because it can become a bigger issue. It's easier to address it head on when we first realize it, and it's okay to accept help. There's no shame in that.
Yeah, so it sounds like we shouldn't just put it off, be like, oh, I'll get through the holiday season, I'll get through harvest, I'll get through the holiday season, then I'll, you know, next spring, it's like, I'll deal with it then. It's like, but then all of a sudden now you're getting ready for planting. It's just going to be a cycle. It's just going to feed itself. It's, you know, it's better to start, sit down and start sorting it out now. Why it's a little issue, maybe it's just simple oil change and change a little few items on the tractor to get it going down the road, instead of it being a whole new motor, a whole new tractor.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a really great analogy, Kaylee. You said with the tractor, I was thinking about, while I was sitting here, I was thinking about a check engine light and how I ignore it on my car. Yeah. But, you know, that's definitely something that we need to keep in mind. You know, if you've got that mental check engine light on, there's something's up. And, you know, we're here to help. And I want to make sure that we're 100% successful on the farm, of course, but it starts with you. Mm-hmm. If we don't have you, that's mental, you know, that's 100% successful, you've got to set everything up for success. It starts with you. You're the most important, valuable asset to the farm.
It doesn't continue on without you.
Correct.
So we need you here. You know, your family needs you here. You're valuable. And I don't want anyone to ever feel like they're not valuable.
No. So with that, you know, what are some avenues and stuff that growers can receive information and find information, you know, if I don't want my neighbor knowing or anything like that, you know, I want to keep it to myself, and I don't want my wife to know about it, because she's going to worry even more than she does already.
Yeah, so 988 is confidential. So if you do want to talk to someone specifically, yes, you are able to reach out to that number. You don't have to give them any of your information. Nobody's going to know. As well as the USDA has a lot of like resources, not necessarily someone to talk to, but resources, handouts, pamphlets, those types of things where you can go online and look up those bits of information. As well as, we did write a quick article about farming and mental health back in May during Mental Health Awareness Month. So Extension does have a few of those resources. There are probably, you know, county extension directors and extension agents as well that I know took a course called QPR, so question, persuade, and refer. So they are great resources, and they're certified in first aid QPR. So they're able to help you locate those resources if you're not tech savvy, or if you happen to forget that I said the USDA site and you need someone to remind you, because we all tend to be forgetful sometimes. So there are members out there out in the wild and have those good resources for us. So, yeah.
So basically, you know, from my aspect, it's like I can pick up the phone with my extension agent and they can get in contact with somebody, is how it sounds. So that I like an easy avenue and that kind of stuff. So that's one of the things that I think about as well. That'll work perfect.
And I think, you know, extension agents really truly care about the people. Obviously, to work in extension, I feel like you have to have a heart for the people. And sure. Especially when y'all develop those deep relationships with your producers, going on those farm visits, doing those programs, spending all that time together afterwards talking. So, you know, I know that there are a lot of extension agents out there that would have absolutely no problem with being able to help you get to somewhere with someone that can help you. Even if they're not that one that can help, they can help you find someone.
Sure, Kaylee. And I agree with that. You know, our agents are here for you on the farm, here for you, not just putting the seed in the ground. And again, your specialists are here too. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is all a collective effort. It's not a one man band. We're playing a bunch of different instruments. So,
yeah. So like, that's what you kind of notice and you kind of pick up on is there's a lot of ways to like great resources out there available to you. You can talk to some different people. And so, you know, your extension agent is someone you're probably familiar with, you know, coming out on your farm, maybe looking at your cotton or your soybeans or something. So they're, you know, a good communication source. And then you can always go in and talk at, you know, restaurants to your friends or whatever, at your local breakfast joint or your co-op or whatever, you know, resource you have available. But then when you start thinking about like the online resource, that's another good point. It's like maybe you're more of a reclusive person. You want to sit down and just kind of study the materials online and you want to read about it. And so that's kind of good to know that you can talk about it.
Yeah.
And so I think the 988 also has a texting line. Callie, I don't know if you can correct me on that, but that might be another good resource. Like maybe you're like, I don't know if I want to call or talk on the phone. I'd rather just sit there and text and type. And so,
yeah, you definitely can call or text that line. I think that that's really convenient, especially like, say, you don't want your spouse to know. It is a way that you can kind of talk through those things still in your home, still in somewhere that you're comfortable, but also remain confidential as much as you want to be.
Yeah, because maybe you're sitting, you know, downstairs and you're like, oh, I can text on my phone. Mm-hmm. Someone in the next room, they won't really know what's going on. They just think I'm looking at videos or whatever else. They won't really know. And so it creates an anonymity even within a house that you can kind of stay privatized.
Absolutely.
Sure. So, you know, and are there, I know we just talked about a bunch of tools and assets, but I think with those tools and assets, you know, we're able to sort of manage and, you know, have a stress management, almost like a program tailored to them, mm-hmm. like to your specific person. Am I correct, Kaylee? Very nice. So that would be, you know, a tailored to you specific. It's not the catch-all approach. It's specific, which makes you more, it sets you up with the correct tools for success.
Yes, right. Because everyone's different. Everyone's going to experience that stress differently, and everyone has different experiences. As much as, you know, you want to say, hey, I also went through something similar, it will never be the same thing that you went through. So being able to talk to a person and allowing that person to help individualize their responses to you, it's not like an AI chatbot. It's actual individuals.
It's a real person.
On the other side of that phone, and that is really beneficial because you're talking to someone real. They're helping you work through your individual problems. And yeah, they might have talked to someone about the same thing about 15 minutes ago. But again, you're different and you deserve different responses and you deserve being able to work through those in a way that is comfortable for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Kaylee. So one of our final wrap-ups here is, and this is a hard question to answer here, so I saved it for the last one. You know, how do we go about breaking the stigma of asking for help when it's needed?
Yeah.
Even if we don't want to recognize it's needed.
Yeah, it's hard because I feel like that's been something in our like Southern culture that has carried on for a really long time.
Sure.
You know, the man should be very stoic, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you know, let's not complain about this. And breaking the stigma is really about, you know, one, allowing yourself to get past those thoughts that you've heard your whole life. Again, back to the tractor analogy, you know, you're not going to be okay if we continue to ignore things. And if you want to continue to break those, I wouldn't necessarily say a generational curse, but if you want to break that stigma and move past that, you are that individual change. And how we speak to others is also that individual change too. You know, making sure that we are kind to people, we don't brush them off. Oh, I saw, you know, Joe down the street and he has kind of been drawing himself away and he's been real quick to anger. You know, maybe he just needs to be left alone. You know, we break that stigma by being there for other people and being there for our family members. I went to a couple of women in ag events where I have had a conversation about mental health and, you know, allowing those, you know, spouses or girlfriends or daughters to be able to see those things. You know, sometimes it's easier to have that conversation with family members, you know, sometimes. So being able to, you know, just educate, allowing people to know what's a sign, what's a symptom, is it okay to talk about it? It's totally okay to talk about it. You know, we had to normalize it. And so that just comes with acceptance and comes with, you know, really a lot of positive self-talk. I know that that's not the most fantastic answer, but a lot of that positive self-talk can really help in the long run.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And one thing I'd like to add on to, Kaylee, is and you mentioned it earlier, is picking up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bad about not calling good buddies of mine from, you know, from years past, but man, it only takes a few seconds to just pick up the phone. And when I pick up the phone with these guys, I'm on the call for almost over an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like we always call and talk when we're driving, you know, as extension specialists, growers, you know, anybody working in this realm, you know, we drive a lot. So I think that's really good. Just get in the truck and pick up the phone, especially if somebody you hadn't really heard from, in a little bit and you're sort of concerned about them. It's always good to just talk about whatever.
Or just a text, you know, hey, I was thinking about you. You know, that one little text could really be a pivotal point in someone's mental health, is being able to know that someone does care about them. So sometimes you may not have the opportunity to call. You're really busy, but you have that person on your mind and on your heart. Reaching out to them just to let them know that you care is really, really beneficial.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, because we've been talking about, like, signs that we can see in ourselves, but that, like, we kind of mentioned a lot of the signs just now of, like, seeing in other people of, like, you know, the holding back and the kind of reclusing away a little bit and kind of some of them different things and changing, like what you mentioned about changing the habits, like noticing that in others. And that's a big thing, is like you start noticing that happening in other people, giving them a phone call saying, hey, like, I haven't seen you in a while, or you didn't come out to the extension event last week and you're normally out and about. I was like, just checking, see if everything's okay, making sure, you know, you didn't have a flat tire or something. Just, you know, start the conversation that way. Like, it doesn't have to be, oh, we didn't see you. Like, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Like, oh, do you have a flat tire? Do you need some help or something? Or tractor have given you issues?
Yeah, Chandler, I think that's a really good comment. Because one of my questions is, like, how do I intervene without being too much? And I think that's a really great way to just start the conversation and, you know, not, you know, so abrupt and just blunt, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's a
really
good
approach. You don't want to, like, you know, make someone hard stop immediately.
Of course.
And
of course.
You know, if so-and-so didn't show up to a meeting, don't be like, oh, is your mental health bad? Like, don't obviously.
No.
Don't lead with that, because that scares people off. But say they are someone that was like, yeah, I just had a bad day, or yeah, I just didn't feel good. Well, continue to check on them, because eventually those signs can, you know, kind of add up, and then they start to get more comfortable with you. Or if you hear comments like, yeah, I just really don't need to be here anymore. You know, when you hear comments like that, encourage them, like, yeah, you're really important. We really enjoy having you a part of this community, and I really like to be around you. Or, you know, a lot of times people are not going to be really direct about, I'm going to do this, or, you know, it'll be just passive comments like, oh, you know, there's just no point anymore, or oh, there's just no point in being here, and nobody wants me around. A lot of times our interventions can be seeing, hey, no, you're important. I need you here. Hey, how can I help you? How can I, you know, be there for you? Because I want you to still be here.
100% sure. So I think with this, we're gonna wrap everything up. Kaylee, do you have any final comments or anything for our listeners here on the Alabama Crops Report podcast?
Yeah, I just want, you know, all of the growers and anyone that listens to this to know that, you know, being in this position isn't a sign of weakness, and you don't have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Being able to say you need help, or even just text 988 or do a little research, that's strength. That is you continuing on. I know a lot of people really want their, you know, farms to continue on with their families for generations. That's how you create that generational wealth. That's how you're there for your family. You continue the farm. You continue that legacy. So it's not weakness. It's a strength. So I want everyone to kind of step back and really think about that as a strength within yourself. And you're important and you're valued. And Extension is here for you.
Very nice. Well, thank you, Kaylee. Chandler, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I don't have any closing thoughts. I think that's a great point. Like, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to reach out. It's not a thing. Like, you know, maybe it's a national level. Maybe it's a local level. Maybe it's just contacting Extension. Like, every little thing can build together. And so it's, you know, don't think you need to, like, you know, rush out and go do a whole bunch of things at once. Just, you know, start small. Like, talk it to a friend, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're feeling this stress, just start small. Like, don't think, you know, be like, oh, that's too much work. It's too much work. It's not too much work. Just pick up the phone, you know, talk to a friend, go visit the local co-op, talk to a friend there, just start small, just have that conversation. You know, maybe you'll realize that, hey, this is good, this is beneficial to me, and you'll start having more conversations, and that'll help break down that stigma, and it'll help, you know, increase your conversation. You'll feel more comfortable, and you'll feel better about going through that, progressing on.
Yeah, there's only one you, and you're valuable, and we need you here.
Right. So with that, thank you, Kaylee. Again, you know, the most valuable asset on the farm is you. So that's what we want to protect and make sure that's working 100% for sure. With that, we're going to wrap up this episode of the Alabama Crops Report podcast. We thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to listening again. Thank you.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.